Well, let's get started. I started talking about, right, it's NFL season. I figured if all of you could be comfortable, I don't understand why I can't be. Right? My wife cringes already as I sit down here. As I sit down and we could do this. Hey, Pastor Morris, we could do like a fireside chat. What do you think? I mean, maybe that's the way to go, you know. But I really wanted to think about it. You know, I said September 4th is the kickoff of the NFL season, and wouldn't you all agree that's probably right now America's favorite pastime? Right? How many of us have more invested in our jerseys, in our closets, than maybe we do in our cars? You know, some of us do, right? And I love watching Sunday afternoon games. I don't know about you. I love it. Monday night, Monday night, you know, about 9:30, I kind of start to fade off a little bit. But I love to watch the games on Monday night, you know. And probably a lot of you, just like me, you guys, every Sunday, every Thursday now, every Monday, sometimes Saturday, if you get late enough in the season, right, you're glued to your armchairs. You know, you get your feet. I really wish I had a recliner up here right now. Kelton, where's Kelton? He was wanting to stay up here. I can get him to put it, just get right under there. But how many of you are guilty, just like I am, of as I'm sitting in my recliner with my plate of nachos or my popcorn, or if those of who know me really, really well, my Cinnamon Toast Crunch dry cereal, you know, and we yell. We begin to yell at the TV, right? Like I'm playing the NFL, like you know, because I was some kind of great high school athlete. Oh, boy. Marginal at best, right? And we're yelling, hey, follow that blocker, right? Because we can see it from the big view up at the top, or we can see Troy Aikman with his little, you know, pin, and or if you were in my day, Madden, right? Madden take his markers, and he'd all over the place. And we yell, hey, that guy's open. How come you didn't pass to him? Or how could you miss that tackle? That's my favorite one. I'm kind of a defense guy. I love defense. And then we even yell at the coach. And we say, how could you call that play? Or even, how could you call that play again if you're a Dallas Cowboys fan, right? Because we run the same play over and over and over for a 1 yard of gain. So, you know, I said it's the season in the NFL, but really, what I really thought about when God and I were just speaking about this, and it's the season of the armchair quarterback, right? I really wish I had some nachos here. Andy was going to try to take care of me, but it's a little early in the day for nachos, so I don't know. Maybe there's never. But how many of you loved armchair quarterback in there? Come on, put your hand up. Come on, be honest. How many of you like to be an armchair? Bull. All of you don't have your hands raised? Bull. Bull. Right? Amen. I'm telling Dak Prescott on a weekly basis how to escape some of the most fiercest and athletic people on the face of the earth, right? And I can barely avoid hitting the coffee table on my way to get another refill of chips, right? I can't even avoid the coffee table, which hasn't moved in like 3 years since it got there. I mean, I just recently pulled a muscle sneezing. Come on, you all know where I'm at right now. Every single one of you know where I'm at. Amen. Right? Honestly, if I'm being really honest, and Josh isn't here, the 85-year-old lady on the track laps Josh and I every single morning, multiple times. Right? I mean, that's just the truth. We love to throw out our thoughts, though. We love to throw out our thoughts. We love to play from a 30,000-foot view, don't we? From the comfort of our chairs, kicked back with our popcorn, our nachos, and our true comfort, don't we? With no skin in the game. No true skin in the game other than the jersey that's hanging in my... And sometimes I don't bring that out, guys. Last time I did that, I lost a bet with Michelle. But let me be honest with you. I checked my phone right before I came up here. I know I'm not supposed to do that in church, but I checked my phone right before I came up here. And Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid had not left me any messages asking for my advice on the play calling for September 4th, right? Micah Parsons wasn't calling me and asking me how to get just a little bit quicker on how to get past that defender. But I want to ask you guys something in all seriousness. How much does the armchair quarterback really honor the sacrifice and the knowledge and the experience of each and every one of those people? Because let me tell you, nobody was barking at my door at the end of high school for me to come play a major sport. And if you did make it a little bit further than that, nobody was, I don't see any NFL players, major league players, NBA. I don't see any of that. Let's be honest. The armchair quarterback is really not that helpful, are they? No matter how many times you or I play Madden, right? No matter how many times we do that, it does not make us an NFL player, a coach, or is it even helpful? It just fulfills some kind of delusion I have. No matter how great of an athlete I thought I was in high school, I honestly have no right to sit there and call the plays. Well, you ask me, what in the world does this all have to do with the kingdom of God? Because I just gave you guys a whole dissertation on being an armchair quarterback. And so I thought I'd just kind of help you guys take it there. Because I thought it was funny that you all would ask me that. I saw all of you just waiting to ask me. And I've been teaching out of this amazing book the last few months. How many of y'all know the author John Bevere? Yeah, I do too. And you probably heard us talk about a lot about it. But in conjunction, as we started doing, Driven by Eternity, which a lot of you heard, there's another book called Honor and Rewards. And Honor and Rewards has been like somebody taking a 2x4 to the side of my head on a weekly, daily basis. Maybe minute by minute basis. I would recommend it to you. Absolutely, I would recommend it to you. He revealed to me in that time and through this book that my heart wasn't very full of honor. That I had lost what it meant to honor. What it meant to honor him at times. What it meant to honor my pastor. And then he began to show me how I wasn't honoring Jesus. Well, that is a kick in the seat of the pants. I was really touched by all of this. And when Pastor Aaron and I sat down about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, and we began to look over the next 3 months' schedule, and you'll get lots of me over the next few months, or more of me at least, I asked him, he said, Kelly, I want you to speak on this. And I said, I think the Holy Spirit's asking me to speak on honoring the shepherd. Let me tell you, he actually was a little hesitant. But I really believe that God was touching me and asking me to this. Because I believe the Holy Spirit has laid it upon my heart. Because honor is the key. Honor is the key to our relationship. I think when I talk to him about it, I think he's a little bit scared of it. Because a lot of us, right, we're so cynical. And you might think Pastor Aaron put me up to this. He was absolutely the opposite, looking for a reason for me not to do it. Right? And it wasn't one I was really looking forward to. I enjoyed this little bit, right? I enjoyed sitting in an armchair up here with you guys. But I wasn't really looking forward to it. And it was funny because Don came up, and most of you know I don't really have a lot of fear in my life. I don't really get too fearful when it comes to speaking or giving God's word. And Don, I was a little bit nervous this morning. I was a little bit nervous, just a tad, right? I had this check, this hesitation, like, oh boy, they are not going to like me now. That's okay. I'm all right with it now. I like all of you. So I would ask us today as I begin to speak, as I begin to get out of the silliness piece of it, right? That we have ears to hear this kingdom principle, this true kingdom principle that comes directly from God's word. If you were in my Sunday school class, I'm going to be sorry. You've heard some of this. And that's okay because we need to hear it again. It's a message. It's messages worth repeating. It's messages that we need to ingrain in our heart. If we truly want to see the kingdom of God come to earth, if we truly want to see heaven moved here on earth, if we want to see boundaries expanded, if we want to see obstacles moved, we have to understand the principle of honoring the shepherd. And it's not just the pastor, right? It's honoring Jesus. And we're going to talk about that. So would you all bow your heads with me this morning and let's pray. God, we honor you today as we come into this place. You are holy and you are worthy and you deserve all honor. Today I just pray, God, that you would make me the vessel. Lord, that I wouldn't put any of Kelly into this today. Lord, but that you would speak through me wholeheartedly. God, that your word would be clear to your people today, as clear as it was to me when you revealed it. So, Father, I just pray for an anointing to fall upon this place. God, not an anointing on me, God, but an anointing on your people today. An anointing on your people to hear your words. God, that you would reveal to them the truths of the principles of your kingdom. Lord, and we just praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Well, let's get into the word. I'm really excited today. I actually built this. Aaron made me go to Canva, Wendy. I have no creative bones in my body left anymore. I sat here Friday night listening to the worship team. Thank God for the worship team because it was the only thing that kept me sane as I was trying to pull through it this morning. So we're going to go through this morning, and I want you guys to listen because this isn't so much of a... Most of you know I love to preach, and I always think I'm a teacher, but mainly I'm a preacher. I love the Word of God. I love the Spirit of God. But today is a lesson. There is a lesson in here. It is a true instruction upon the kingdom of God. So let's look at, if you have your Bibles, let's turn to Matthew chapter 10, verses 40 through 42. And if you are in my Sunday school, Miss Sue, do we know this verse by heart yet? Matthew chapter 10, verse 40 through 42. We should, shouldn't we? We should know this. I read out of the NLT. So, anyone who welcomes you welcomes me. This is Jesus speaking. And anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. Whoever receives a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. And there's a ton packed into this today. And those of you who like scripture, we're going to get a lot of scripture, right? Because when it comes to kingdom principles, we just need to hear straight from the Father, right? And that's exactly what we're going to hear today. So I want to talk about honoring the shepherd. I want to just talk about it for a minute. What is the definition of honor? I'm throwing it around, right? I keep saying honor, honor, honor. And if you've been around me lately, you'll know it. Because the definition of honor is to value as weighty and precious. Now, Webster's goes a little bit further with it, and it says to revere, respect, to treat with deference and submission, and perform relative duties to. So I want you guys to hear some of that. That's the true definition of, because submission is a key attribute in the aspect of truly honoring someone, right? Our hearts have to be in submission, and I think that's sometimes we miss that because to honor authority is to submit to authority. Oh, some of you don't like me right now. There's no amens going on, Pastor. Sorry. Every once in a while, Pastor, if you just shoot an amen my way, I'll feel better. oh, man. But here's, as we honor authority, is to submit to authority, guess what? We dishonor authority by not submitting to it. That's kind of weighty. The second part of that actually really throws me for a bit of a loop. We heard someone say here recently, I think it was Wednesday night, the teacher on the video said that we'll be judged, not necessarily for the things that we've done always, but we'll also be judged for the things that we didn't do. Boy, that's a smack in the mouth, right? When we think about it, for the things that we didn't do. So when we dishonor or we don't submit to authority, guess what happens? We're going to be held accountable for that. You think, well, I didn't do anything wrong. I just didn't want to. Well, you did. We failed to honor. Honor is one of the greatest principles in the kingdom of God. We think about God's kingdom on earth, and I talked about that for just a minute. And I think that's really, really important, because what we want to think about of the kingdom of God is just all heaven right here, right? We think about heaven. But Jesus said he came to bring the kingdom of God, right? And so with that, there are principles that govern us and that are for us here on earth that are for our benefit to make our lives better. The first part of that is that God's kingdom has rank, order, and delegated authority. Some of you don't like that word, right? Who does like to fall under authority? Don't raise your hand, because I already know you, right? I already know most of you who do that. So don't raise your hand. Nobody else needs to know, all right? So in God's kingdom, there is rank and order. And the Western world, we as a Western world, right, the United States in particular, we struggle with that. We struggle with that. Heidi said it this morning. The reason we struggle with that is because we live in a democratic society. We think we should have a say in it. Well, in the kingdom of God, that's not how a kingdom works. A kingdom starts here and disseminates down. It doesn't go here and disseminate up. It comes from the top down. And we have to understand that. When we don't in God's kingdom, what it does, guys, is it leaves us exposed, because we no longer have the protection. We no longer have the authority over us. We no longer have the king. In medieval times, even in biblical times, if you wanted to be protected, you lived inside the walls of the castle, because the king offered protection. But when you got outside of his authority, outside of his walls, you were exposed to attacks from the evil one, right? And that's exactly how it works in the kingdom of God. This is why so many people, guys, this is why there's so many church splits, because we fail to want to stand under the authority that's been presented over us, right? Because we don't like it. I don't want to be told what to do. And I got to tell you, that's the absolute leaves us ripe. It leaves us ripe for attack. But when we think about that, when we fail to live under even the authority that God gives us, when we think about the church structure, when we think about all that, right, really what you're saying is, I fail to live under the lordship of Jesus Christ. That's really what you're saying. I'm not going to live under your authority, Jesus. It isn't good enough. I know better than you. I want my say in all of this. But Jesus, he established for us an accountability through the authority structure that he gives us, right? He set it up because we can all agree. I think who here doesn't agree? We could all use some accountability. Because unchecked, I'm a wild man. Let me tell you, unchecked, yeah, my wife shakes her head, yes. Unchecked, I'm going to eat the whole stinking box of the Cinnamon Toast Crunch by myself, right? Unchecked, which maybe has happened once or twice. We need accountability in our lives. And when God set up the church, he set up accountability for us. When he set up the shepherd structure, he set up accountability for us. It's a nice thing about shepherds, right? Shepherd decides where we go. The sheep don't have to worry about it, because the sheep know that he's going to lead them to green grass, to water, to drink. And that's his job, right? Or her job, right? Because there were shepherds in the Bible that were women. Within the church, God's appointed authority and order and rank. Because the truth is, God appoints those who are in authority over us. And you think, man, that's not fair. That's not right. But here's what Romans chapter 13, verses 1 and 2 says. Everyone must submit to governing authorities, for all authority comes from God, and those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. So anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and they will be punished. Let me say this again. God's kingdom has rank, order, and delegated authority. Oh, that's harsh. That's some of you are going, oof, oof, oof. But here's one of the things I want you guys to think about within this. This all starts with respecting the shepherd when we understand that fear of the Lord should drive this. Right? Not fear of man, not fear of the pastor, not fear of the board members, but fear of the Lord. That fear of the Lord is to know who he is, to respect what he says, to know that we trust him with our lives. Right, Steve? Sometimes even when we don't want to. That fear of the Lord tells us that I'm better off with him and his direction than I am without it. That should drive us. And it's impossible to fear God and have no regard for his servants. To fear God is also to respect the authority he appoints. I want to read a story to you out of Matthew chapter 21. Jesus told this story, and it makes so much sense. He said, "Now listen to another story. A certain landowner planted a vineyard, built a wall around it, dug a pit for pressing on out the grape juice, and built a lookout tower. Then he leased the vineyard to tenant farmers, and he moved to another country. And at that time of the grape harvest, he sent his servants to collect his share of the crop. But the farmers grabbed his servants and beat one and killed one and stoned another. So the landowner sent a large group of servants to collect for him, but the results were the same. Finally, the owner sent his son, thinking, 'Surely they will respect my son.' But when the tenant farmers saw his son coming, they said to one another, 'Come, here comes the heir to this estate. Come on, let's kill him and get the estate for ourselves.' So they grabbed him and dragged him out to the vineyard and murdered him. But when the owner of the vineyard returns, Jesus asked, 'What do you think he will do to those farmers?' And even the religious leaders replied, 'He will put the wicked men to a horrible death and lease the vineyards to others who will give him his share of the crop to each after each harvest.' They failed, the landowners, the tenants failed to understand the authority that those servants and that the son held from the true landowner." Let me bring it to you, because that's kind of a big story, right? So I want you guys to think of it in our terms today. I want you to think about it. God has lots of servants. One of those servants is the pastor. And he comes with the authority of the landowner. He comes with the authority of the King of Kings. He's the representative of the king. And how we treat him, if we beat him up, we stone him, we rough him up, we are dishonoring the King of Kings, the ultimate landowner. How you treat him is a direct reflection. Here's God gave this instruction to us to clear it up a little bit to the people of our church, to that are, how we are to obey our church leaders. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. I love Hebrews because it's pretty clear a lot. You know, there's some, I love clearness. Simply says, obey your spiritual leaders. Do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they are accountable to God. Give them reason to do this with joy and not with sorrow. That will certainly not be for your benefit. Ouch. Ouch. God's given you a gift within your pastors, within your pastor. Don't even include me in this. I'm out of it, because I'm telling you, this smacked me in the mouth. God's given us a gift. They have a job. Somebody say, he didn't do anything all day. He's just working. He just hangs out in the office. How many of y'all said that? Don't raise your hands. Do not do it. Yeah, Wendy does. Wendy, you're okay. You're saying, man, that guy, he's just hanging out. He's hanging out watching TV, playing on the phone, you know, all those things. But it says that God gave him a job to do, to watch over your souls. The time that's spent in prayer. I don't know how many calls I get sometimes during the week. Say, Kelly, would you just kind of pray over this with me? He truly cares for our souls. He cares what's going on in our lives. That, you know, every time he's away, I get the opportunity to kind of try to fill the shoes, and I fail miserably. I fail miserably every single time, and it makes me appreciate him even more. I got to tell you, you asked me to get out of bed at 9 o'clock and come hang out with you somewhere, and you know, particularly the hospital. I'm probably not going to be real excited to get there, right? Probably not my thing. Most of you know I'm a germphobe. I do not like hospitals, right? I freak out when I have to go to them. They have a true job. Heidi said it this morning about accountability. The accountability that weighs upon the pastor's head is so much heavier than anything you can ever imagine. I get just a little taste of it when he's gone, just a tiny, and it's so heavy. To stand up here in front of all of you today, knowing that I have to bring his word, God's word, to you, is so heavy I can hardly stand it at times. I can't imagine doing it every single week, coming to your homes, coming to meet you for long, and speaking into your lives in that way, that heaviness, that accountability that stands there. But when we value that word of our pastor, we're valuing God's word. Because he sent him. He sent him to us. And when we choose, I talked to the young adults last night about being planted. When we choose to be planted right here, how many of you would say you're planted in Sunshine Open Bible? Trust me, there's all kinds of people all around the city of Des Moines who say they're planted in the Sunshine Open Bible, and I've never seen them in 4 years here. But they're planted. That's what they said, right? So Psalms 92 tells us something about being planted, though. It says, for they are transplanted to the Lord's own house, and then they flourish in the courts of God. Flourishing in both life and judgment seat of Christ where they're planted at, right? So being planted means that we are here to lay down our lives, to serve, to give of ourselves, to submit to the authority of where we're planted. If our church is the soil that we're planted in, guess what? I can tell you this about a corn. You know, y'all know this. Corn doesn't get to say, just because I don't like the soil group that I'm in, that I'm going to get up and move to the next field. When you're planted, you take root, right? You take what the soil gives you. You are there because that's where you're supposed to be. When we're planted and we put ourselves in there and we fall under that authority and we begin to serve the way that we're supposed to serve, right, within the church, serving our pastor, serving our church, serving our fellow people, that's when we get life. That's when we get life. If you are planted in this church, if you are one of these people today who raised your hand and said, I am planted at Sunshine Open Bible, you will value your pastor's words and direction. Amen. You will not take lightly what he's asked of you. I'm just going to be perfectly honest. Because here's what we're called to do, guys. Because I talked last night about to the young adults about calling. I'm going to tell you about the calling that God has placed upon us, right? Our call, when it comes to our pastor, our shepherd, is to honor him. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12 through 13 tells us, dear brothers and sisters, honor those who are leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. Show them great respect and wholehearted love because of their work and live peaceably with each other. Your pastor is an important part of your life. He needs to be, or she, for those of you who maybe are guests here, right? Needs to be an important part of your life. They need to be part of your life. You need to think of them. You need to pray for them. You need to invite them into your home. That's okay. That's okay to invite your pastor to your home. Lightning will not strike. Some of you have thought, man, if that holiness comes in here, I'm in trouble. Well, maybe you need to be in trouble a little bit. I don't know, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15 tells us this, for even if you had 10,000 others to teach you about Christ, you only have one spiritual father. This is what Paul was saying. For I became your father in Christ when I preached the good news to you. So if you are sitting here under the preaching of the pastor, he is your spiritual father. Amen. Some of you aren't amen, but that's okay. I'll amen myself. I'm good with that. And that takes us back to how we should see our pastor, how we can value them. Just like the Ten Commandments tells us to honor our fathers and mothers, if this is our spiritual father, what are we to do? Honor our father. And that's the only promise that comes with, or the only commandment that comes with a promise. Right? Paul talks about that. It's the only promise, or only commandment comes with a promise. It says, if you do, things will go well with you. Things, you will live a long life. And I'm not getting into, get out of the physical piece of it, right? You're going to get eternal life out of it. You are getting a long life. You're getting eternal life out of it. Your ways will be better. You have comfort. Let me tell you, your pastors can be a source of comfort, a source of joy in your life. Well, I told you this is more teaching. How do we honor? How do we respect those who are preaching and teaching us? Well, let's get really, really back to elementary stuff here. How about you make some eye contact with us when we speak? Thanks, Connor. Appreciate that, buddy. Appreciate that. How about listen attentively? Let me tell you, I'm not wearing my hearing aids today. I'm really glad. There's many a Sunday because the hearing aids face backwards. The microphones face backwards. Oh, there's a lot going on back here, isn't there? It's not listening attentively. If you really wonder what's going on around the church, ask the sound booth guys sometimes. I know who's on Facebook. I know who's on Amazon. I know who's, you know, hanging out, checking out Instagram. Right? They know exactly who it is. Don't let your minds wander. Stay attentive to what's being taught. It's for your benefit. Let me tell you, we don't enjoy necessarily spending 5 to 8 hours a week or more if you're speaking multiple times. This week, something like close to like 19 hours of preparing lessons. I don't do it for my own health. Right? I really don't. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13 says, until we get there, focus on reading the scriptures to the church, encouraging the believers, and teaching them. That's my job. That's Pastor Aaron's job. Simply said, pay attention because it's good for us and it strengthens us. Right? How about this one? Though there should be some conviction here. Don't talk during the service. Stop talking. I can hear you in my hearing aids. It's annoying. Good Lord. I remember talking one time during service. My dad pointed the drumstick at me from the top of the stage. And my buddy laughed at him. My dad came, threw the drumstick in the middle of the service, came off the stage, yanked the young man, by his skin of his neck, and drug him over the three back pews, hauled him out to the outside in front of everyone, because in our church there was a glass foyer, if you've ever been in First Church, and had him pinned up by his neck up against a wall. My buddy was like 260 pounds at the time. We were full-grown adults. And here's my dad, got him yanked up in there. To this day, he swears he didn't do that. We all know what happened. Like, don't talk. That's what I remember during that from there. I don't want Pastor Morris yanking me out in the back. Man, don't be on your phones, your social media. Don't do it. Don't be late. How about that one? Don't be late. Quit interrupting the service. Quit interrupting the service. Stop being late. Show up on time. Have some respect. Right? Have some respect. We work hard. Pastor Morris, you worked hard, didn't you? Oh, here's my favorite one, Steve. Don't interrupt by leaving your phone ringer on. Turn your stinking phone ringer off. It's not that hard. It's not that hard. Here's my last one. These are just simple for you, but quit getting up and down during the service. Oh, my Lord. If you know you need to get up during the service, sit at the back. Sit at the back. It's okay. We know emergencies happen. We know things happen, right? But if you're sitting at the front and you get up 17 times during the middle of the service, I got to tell you, it's a little distracting, no matter how good a preacher you are. It's not that hard. Because when we honor the shepherd, when we honor our pastor, right, you're honoring Jesus. I'm going to take you back to Matthew 10:40, where we started. Anyone who receives you receives me. And anyone who receives me receives the Father. Oh, come on. How you treat your pastor is how you will treat Jesus. That's a hard reality right there. How you treat your pastor is how you treat Jesus. Some of you need to check yourself before you wreck yourself, right? Some of you think that you are the ultimate armchair quarterback on Monday morning, and you are going to tell that pastor how it should be done. Oh, shame on you. Jesus said it will not go well for you. Because I look at that, and I like to break things down, right? The end of that says if you receive that person, you're receiving Jesus. If you receive Jesus, you receive the Father. 1 Samuel chapter 2 says that if you you don't honor the Lord, he will think poorly of you, is some descriptions. But it ain't going to go well for you. Right? When you sit up here and you armchair quarterback and you think you have the right, to tell that preacher how he should be preaching, how he should be leading, when you question every decision that they make, and some of you say, oh, I don't call them, but you're sitting in your armchair quarterback at home. I might be guilty of this one. I may have. I had to ask for forgiveness recently for that because I thought I knew how to do it better. And I wasn't real helpful in my way that I did it. Right? Some of you, I know, that's why I do it right here. Let me tell you, buddy. I could do that job. Let me tell you, you would wilt. As one who's called to this, I wilt sometimes. I wilt really bad. Let me tell you, your pastor does not need an armchair quarterback. Because if you're armchair quarterbacking your pastor, I promise you, you are armchair quarterbacking Jesus. You are telling him how it should be done. And let me tell you, he doesn't need you to tell him how it should be done. This is not about the person. Some of you may say, I don't like Pastor Aaron. Well, shame on you, number one, but that's okay. It's not about him, the person. It's about how we view the position who is sent by the King of Kings. That's what it's really about. Because if you can't follow the direction of the pastor, I'm telling you, you're going to struggle to follow the direction of Jesus. You will. Our pastor, our shepherd, he's a gift from God himself. I think I said that already, but let me give you the scriptural reference for that. Ephesians 4, chapter 11, verse 12 says, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. In God's wisdom, guys, he gave us someone to care and to directly lead us. I want to ask you this. Do you see your pastor true? Don't you? Because some of you, I know your true hearts. Do you truly see your pastor as a gift? Because you may not always like the gift. Anybody ever had that happen before? I've had a few gifts I didn't always like. Doesn't mean it wasn't a good gift. Just meant that I didn't like the gift. He is the shepherd. There's the bottom line. And we're his sheep to follow. Let me tell you what he is not. And I'm wrapping it up. Kelton, there's no need for you even to come up today, buddy. What he is not, and I'm going to be very, very strong here. He is not your punching bag. You want to punch on somebody? Come find me. I can handle it. Come find Steve. He's even bigger than I am. He is not someone to use and abuse. He is not your personal workhorse. Some of you think every time something needs to be done at your house, that's who you call. No, man, come on. He is not one to be thought less of. Some of you do not think very highly. And he is not your personal player to play armchair quarterback with. Today, we need to commit ourselves to honoring the shepherd, opening up our hearts, because that's really what it becomes, is a heart issue. We need to open up our hearts to receiving the rewards that God intended for us. And part of that reward is your pastor, your shepherd. Let me tell you, there isn't anybody who cares about you more than he does. I know that for a fact. I've been the recipient of it for a lot of years. And I can tell each and every one of you that you are part of his heart. That he loves you. He cares for you. He knows it. I've cried with him multiple times. Some of you don't know that. The love that he has is greater than I could ever think of. Well, we're going to wrap it up today. And I want to leave you with the three things that I want you to remember from this sermon. Because some of you will forget what I said 10 minutes after. But I want you to put these three things out. So if you're a note taker, whatever you need to do here. The first and foremost thing is that we are to honor our shepherd. We got to remember, guys, that he is appointed by Jesus. He is a gift directly from him. And when we honor him, it reflects our love for the great shepherd. It reflects who and how much we have love for the Father. This is one I think is important. I keep repeating it. Heidi and I continue to repeat it time in and time out. God's kingdom is not a democracy. God has appointed those in authority to lead. God's word tells us to obey our leaders. There's our next part I want you to remember. God's word tells us to obey our leaders because he's the one who places them over us in authority. It did not happen by circumstance that our pastor showed up here at the door of Sunshine. Pastor Morris, nobody chooses this career to go into willingly. It ain't about the pay. It ain't about the benefits. It's because the Father appointed you. That's the sheer reason. It's a true act of obedience. If you tell me that you are planted here, then you will, and if you will be planted, God promises that we will flourish as part of being planted and living under the authority of our pastor. That's being planted. If you are a pain in the butt to the pastor all the time, I did say it, pain in the butt, that is not who you were called to be. That is not honoring. That's not falling under that authority. And thirdly, your pastor is and wants to be an important part of your life. Your pastor is a gift, and he truly is. Some of us don't treat him like it, but he is. He's truly a gift from God himself. And the last thing I'm going to leave you with, because it reminds you of the illustrations that I've given so many times, your pastor is not yours to armchair quarterback. You backseat drivers, get out. Enjoy the ride. Stop trying to control the car. So today, I'm leaving you with the final thought, that how we honor our pastor, how we honor our shepherd, is how we will honor Jesus. And so I brought this with a teaching heart today because I believe it's the true key to God has things for this church that we can't even imagine. God is beginning to birth things in people's hearts right now that if that are amazing. But I got to tell you, if we can't get behind the leadership, if we can't understand how to honor the shepherd, God will not put us in a place for more. He will not give us more. It's back to the story of the talents. If we don't take care of the talents, if we don't do the things, why would he give us any more? And if we can't take care of the very leader that we have and support him and love him and care for him, it's a two-way street. Then why would God do the things that he's beginning to birth in us? He will not bring and breed new life into dysfunction. He does not do that. According to 1 Corinthians, there is order in the house. So I want you guys to take from this today. Not that you have to go smother Aaron with kisses, because go ahead and do that for a little fun. But I am telling you that we need to check ourselves. And we need to begin to honor, lift him up, take care of. Not just does he meet our needs, we need to meet his needs. You know, he told me at camp that the boys that he took to camp, the most powerful thing that's ever happened to him was the boys at that camp surrounded him and asked him to pray for him. These are a bunch of 12 and 13-year-old boys. And half of us can't even remember to think of him on a Sunday morning. These 13-year-old boys showed us how it's done. That's true honor. Lifting up. So I'm going to pray over us today. I know it's kind of hard at times. Hopefully it resonates with your spirit, because I do believe God is doing something. God is doing something so big right now. It's going to blow our socks off. But we got to get our hearts ready. And I think the key to that is honor. So let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this time, God. I thank you for the word that you birthed in my heart, God, through these lessons, through this teaching. Lord, I pray, I just thank you for the fact that you smacked me with a 2x4. Lord, I am repentant for the times that I have not honored you. Lord, I am so repentant for the times that I haven't honored Pastor Aaron. Lord, I am so sorry for the times that I have been a thorn in his side rather than a blessing. Father, I pray that you would give us a heart for our pastor today. God, that we would see him as a gift from your throne, that you gave him to us to love and to care for. So, Father, I pray right now that you would convict our hearts. Give us repentant hearts. Give us hearts that are corrected as we begin to care for the one that you sent us. I just praise you and I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.